Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the road. We're back at the Ramey Motors. We're doing our Christmas broadcast for our good friends here at Ramey Motors. And if there's a guy on your Christmas list, there are about 25,000 things in here he would like to have. So we'll be talking to Dakota Baker about that in just a moment. Hey, we want to get right to the phone. Basketball coach Jay Ladner graciously joining us from Miami, Florida, as they've come off a really nice road win during the week and getting ready to play the Miami Hurricanes tomorrow morning. First of all, Jay, congratulations on the weeknight win against Radford. And we were talking about this the other day. Why is it, and tell me if I'm wrong, but why is winning on the road in college basketball maybe the toughest assignment of any sport?
Well, it's for several reasons. One is basketball in itself lends itself, the proximity of the fans to the floor is more influenced than any sport by home court advantage. Just the energy that the team can feed off of. And the second reason, and again, I don't know if the powers that be would, it's understood, but I don't think the powers that be would necessarily just totally agree with it, is the officiate that influences the officiating at times. Oh. And also, and again, I'm not complaining about the officiating whatsoever, but you know, Radford shot 19 free throws in the first half. We were in all kind of foul trouble. We were very fortunate to survive the second half. It did balance out in the second half. I want to make sure I'm fair by saying that. But I think, you know, I think they're just the crowd and so forth sometimes will tend to give a 50-50 call to the home team sometimes, except if it's in Reed Green. but anyway, no, it's certainly, I think the biggest factor there, of course, I'm kidding a little bit about that, but the biggest factor, of course, is the energy that the home crowd can use to affect the home team's performance. Very motivational.
Yeah.
Jay, I'm curious, because I know the last time we had you on the show, we were talking about how to get some of the other players not named Tavares involved in the offensive game. And at Radford, all your starters in double figures. I mean, that has to be super encouraging to see the team starting to gel and starting to, you know, come to their own and finding an offensive identity.
Absolutely. I think as time goes, I think one of the things that we discussed then was, as time goes, it's, you know, we were going to be a work in progress, but probably not unlike any or many other teams in Division I these days, with the climate that you're basically going to have a new team every year, and the days of having a team that the starting as freshmen and kind of, you know, going through their years of eligibility and developing that, and is kind of over with. It's sad, you know. It's not necessarily anything that me or probably any other coach agrees with, but that's the rules that have been put down, you know, on us, and you just have to adjust to it. So, yeah, I think the teams that can kind of stick together, we talk about the other day, we talked about, and y'all forgive me in the background, we got some jet noise. Our hotel is right by the Miami airport, and I'm actually sitting outside talking to you. But we talk about 90%, 10%. 10%, if we can eliminate the 90% of stuff that and concentrate on the 10%. The 10% is what happens on the floor. The 90% are all the different voices, social media, negative influences, maybe agents that are already looking ahead to next year with guys that are high achievers, money, NIL, all these different things. The team that can kind of keep their team unified throughout the season and not allow the 90% of noise that's out there that influences players and, of course, then naturally influences the team in itself in a negative way, are the teams that have a chance to be successful. And so far, our guys have done a great job, I think, of staying true to of each other and being understand that we're a collective sport and that we rely on each other. So we constantly preach in family and unity and common goals and in an effort to kind of keep our team unified. And so far so good. And I tell you, they've gotten significantly better each and every game. And of course, it's a long season, and we're only 8 games into it, but. So far, so good. And us to be able to go on the road, one of the things that was a challenge, of course, last year we lost so many close games on the road where we just couldn't get quite over the hump and lose by 1 and 2 and enough to flip our season around. But, so far, so good. So hopefully the win the other night was a good confidence builder for us. Of course, we'll have our hands full with Miami coming up tomorrow. But anyway, so I'm really proud of our team so far.
Now, Tavares has been he's been in double figures every game you've played so far, Coach Ladner. But I want to talk about the skill sets of Talik Weeks. And Kurt Lewis is a name that not many people have heard of, and he kind of stood up and was counted against Radford the other night. Talk about those two guys' skill sets and where you see them fitting in.
Yeah, Talik Weeks, of course, most people, when they refer to him as Talik, I have to kind of think of who they're talking about because – I didn't even know his name was Talik, I don't think, until a few weeks ago. everybody refers to him as Bully. And I asked him one day, I said, why do they call you Bully growing up? Because he said it goes back to his childhood. And he said I said, did you have a reputation of bullying kids? And he said, no. He said, that wasn't it. He said he was real heavy set as a kid. Because the way he played basketball, he played probably like me, Kelly. He played like heavy set, and kind of knocked people around a little bit because of his girth. And he said that's why he got the nickname Bully, and it kind of stuck. But he played at Southwest Community College over in Summit. And so 2 years ago, when I began to recruit him, we had just gotten finished playing, and. The first game that I went to, it was against Mississippi Gulf Coast, I remember, and he scored 35. So I said, this guy's got, he didn't have any scholarship offers, anything. So I wanted to go back and catch him again. So the very next game, they were playing Meridian, and James Green, former USM coach, was the coach at Meridian. Yeah. Called Coach Green, and he told me a little bit about him. I said, Coach, we're interested. Coach, what do you think? And Coach had nothing but good things to say. And of course, I got a chance to watch him play, and he had 37 that night. So the two games that I watched him play, so we went ahead, of course, immediately jumped on an offering. Well, a lot of other people got involved as he approached his sophomore season. That was back in his freshman season. In the sophomore season, a lot of guys got involved, a lot of schools, and of course he probably had 25 or 30 schools recruiting him, but he stuck to it. He said, Coach, y'all were the first one that believed in me, and I like y'all's style of play and offense, and I will say this, as when he got here this summer, I was worried about him, to be honest with you. It's a big adjustment a lot of times of guys coming from either high school or junior college to Division I, and not that he wasn't good enough, but I was just worried about it, the demands on these guys. And I said, he had the usual transition period, and not that he was in any way negative or anything like that. I just thought to myself that just watching him play, I said, man, this is not the guy that I recruited. I maybe I missed on the guy. Well, after he and I had a meeting, and right after that, he just kind of started, you could just see him, his confidence growing day to day. The situation when these kids come in here and they've been the best player on their team and they've been allowed to shoot any shot they want to shoot, and maybe don't play defense or rebound as much as they probably should, and now all of a sudden they're expected to do those things. And he by the way, has just killed it. And so he gets better and better every day. He's been amazing, to be honest with you. And he's not only is he scoring at a high clip, it's a very efficient, you know, he's shooting it at a really high percentage and scoring, rebounding, defending. He's a really smart player. And on top of that, he's a great kid. So he's been a great blessing to us.
And then Go ahead, Coach. No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to finish up with Kurt Lewis. And Kurt Lewis, if you look back in Kurt's time, Kurt of course played. He signed with Missouri played at Missouri and in the SEC. And then at one time in junior college, he was actually a National Junior College Player of the Year. And then he went to Eastern Kentucky, and people kind of forgot about him a little bit there. And of course, he was looking for a fresh start. And I mean, he has really come to his own. Very solid, smart player that can, you know, really shoot it. And so he's tough. He's physical. Kind of reminds me of an old Southern Miss kind of player, a James Green kind of player. Probably Coach Green's there. Very physical and tough, and not a lot of pizzazz to his game, but just solid as a rock. And he's another one that's gotten off to a great start.
All right, Coach, we really appreciate you coming on the show today. Real quick, what's the tip time tomorrow?
Well, it'll be 12 o'clock. It'll be 12 o'clock here, but 11 o'clock Central. So, and the game is broadcast on the ACC network. So you'll be able to not only listen to it on the radio, but watch it on TV. And we certainly appreciate everybody's support.
All right, Coach. Best
of
luck.
We'll
look forward to talking to you when you get home. All right, Coach Jay Ladner, everybody. We'll continue from Remy Motors in Purvis next.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road at Ramey Motors here in Purvis, and this is a man's Christmas paradise. Dakota Becker going to join us here in a few minutes, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But First thing, let's talk about the all-conference picks from the Sun Belt. We didn't get a chance to really get into that yesterday. Obviously, the question is, how in the world does Braylon Braxton not make the second or third team?
Yeah, it was very shocking. Sorry, I thought we were going to do game picks, but let me pull that up. But so Southern Miss, no Braylon Braxton on any of the first, second, or third team offenses. Which I just think is crazy. I mean, but you look at the quarterbacks, it was James Madison's quarterback, Alonzo Barnett, Old Dominion's quarterback, and Colton Joseph, and then third team was Brad Jackson out of Texas State. So I don't know. I mean, I saw what Texas State did to Southern Miss, but are we really sitting here saying that quarterback was better than Braylon?
Well, for those that may not have caught up, who are the other Southern Miss kids that got mentioned?
Yeah, so we had Southern Miss had two on the first team defense, and that would be Jamon Tapp, Chris Jones, and Josh Moten. So three on the first team defense, and then I believe they had a couple on the third team as well. So Ian Foster was on the third team defense, and that was it on Southern Miss players. Only on the defensive side, nobody on the offense, nobody on the offensive first, second, or third
teams. That was the total.
Correct. Only three players on all conference teams. And so, but Southern Miss did have honorable mentions, which was Braylon Braxton, Micah Davis, Elijah Metcalf, and Berdarius Lewis. But no, I mean, it was shocking to me. I mean, this is a guy, Braylon Braxton, who came into the season as the player of the year for the Sun Belt.
Right.
So the player of the year was the quarterback out of James Madison, Alonzo Barnett. Offensive player of the year was Colton Joseph, which was the quarterback at Old Dominion. He did have a great year. Trent Hendrick was the defensive player of the year out of James Madison.
Yeah.
Special teams player of the year was the punter for Troy. We saw him when they came here. He was a great punter. And then the newcomer of the year was Camden Brown from Georgia Southern. The freshman of the year was Sahir West from James Madison. And the coach of the year was Bob Chesney for James Madison.
Who's now left James Madison.
Yeah, I know, for real.
Our guest here, Dakota Baker, was on every All-Star team that he ever participated in. In fact, they named it after you when you retired, didn't they?
They did, and then we had to pass it on to the Parker boys, unfortunately.
They did all right, huh?
Oh, boy, yes, they did.
Actually, the term Baker's Dozen, you've heard that phrase?
Yeah, is that where this is from?
Right here.
He struck out 12 times in one game.
Oh, that's good. That's a baker's dozen.
That is a baker's dozen, for sure.
All right, Dakota, we're down here, and as I've been saying throughout the show, this is a man's paradise when it comes to Christmas shopping. So every lady that's listening to us that has a man on their list, certainly they'll find something here, right?
Oh, man, I mean, we got all your stuff covered, from hunting needs, ammo, buddy heaters, propane, ground blinds, deer stands, fishing equipment, all that down there. Then you still got generators here, and then of course, you know, our whole power sports of Yamaha or Suzuki and Honda products. Then we got Yamaha Mercury outboards, boats, tractors. The biggest thing this year we didn't have last year was skid steers and excavators, which have been really good for us this year. I think we wind up being number one in our district our first year, so that's pretty good for us, and we'd like to pat ourselves on the shoulder for that, for sure. And Drew's got a good selection of trucks out there. He's been selling about averaging right at 20 a month, and that's pretty good considering the, you know, no more than we carry is about 27 to 28 on the lot. So good turnover there, selling a lot of vehicles. Hondas have been selling really good right now. And that's, like I said, I mean, today I've quoted 7 or 8 alone. So just it's time for the Hondas to kick off.
And a lot of obviously less expensive things than, say, this four-wheeler. On that side of the store, I see case knives and fishing stuff. And, I mean, there's just so many gift ideas.
I mean, you got it from your 5-year-old son to your 80-year-old grandfather. I mean, everybody's grandpa always, what they always carry.
Why did you look at Kelly when you said 80-year-old grandpa?
I paused and I turned around and said, well, I better not. So, but case knives, I mean, that was really good. That was really, really good picking them up. But, man, we have Bubba knives, filet knives, deer skin and stuff down there. I mean, you have it from literally a $2 pack of worms to a $120,000 skid steer. I mean, we got it from the Rooter to the
Roto. Roto Rooter. That's
Rooter to the
Again. Tutor. You looked at him when you said
I figured
that.
He was going to be able to finish it. He must be still upset with me that there's no cookies in the case over there.
Well, he's been complaining about it since he got here.
Yeah. Part of my contract, and there's no cookies there.
Part of the NIL deal here.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I think he had that. Remember that chicken box that we came down? And
yeah,
had
you remember
box.
That, David?
Yo, that was gone.
Anybody going to eat that? No, that's for you.
That was lunch for your employees.
That was lunch for the rest of the guys.
Yeah, but what he didn't tell me was from the lunch Tuesday.
I got a little disturbed when I saw you with those three legs in your shirt pocket as you walked out the door. But
well, see, he used to
I
put
wasn't
going to
say
them.
Anything.
He'd put them like this. He'd have 1 point each finger. He'd just gnaw on them.
Food is good for nothing else other than eating, boys.
That's right. You that's know? Right.
We got some games to pick, or are we going to wait and do those?
Yeah.
You going to do picks with us?
Absolutely.
All right, we're picking all the conference games, so let's go quick here. We'll start with Troy and James Madison. Let's get a score pick. 23.5-point James Madison favorites. Mm.
James Madison, 42 to Troy's 14.
I'm going to go 45-17.
I'm going to say James Madison will obviously win the game, but I don't think they're covered that spread.
Really?
I like about a 14-point win for James Madison.
I got it like 45-10.
Well, y'all give Troy no chance.
No,
Steve.
No chance.
Okay. But I got news
I
for
personally
you.
Wouldn't give Southern Miss much of a chance either.
And the people in Troy don't give themselves much of a chance. Okay.
All right, North Texas at Tulane for the American and a spot in the playoff. Tulane's a 2.5-point underdog.
Yeah, I like North Texas actually to win that game. I think they win I think they win it 24-17.
I'm gonna go to North Texas. I think it's going to be higher scoring than that. I'm gonna say 35-30.
I think Tulane's going to win a close 38-34-35 game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's going to be a lot of points scored. I got 42-35 North Texas as well on the road. All right, for the Big 12 championship, BYU in a rematch against Texas Tech. 12.5-point Red Raider favorites.
I'm telling you, Texas Tech, nobody talks about Texas
Tech.
They're
good.
They are super good. I like Texas Tech, and I think BYU's, they don't cover, but Texas Tech wins.
I agree with that. I'm going with Texas Tech, but I think it's going to be a lot closer game. I think the Cougars are going to put on a show.
The Cougars are always consistently good, but this seems to be a real year for the Red Raiders, so I'm going to go with Texas Tech.
They've just extended their coach at Texas Tech, but that means nothing. We all know that.
They did it at the same with BYU. You know, I think BYU is going to play this close, but Texas Tech's defense, nobody talks about them. They are good.
They don't talk about Texas Tech at all.
No. Yeah, so I got Texas Tech 21-13 over BYU. All right, Georgia and Alabama in the SEC title game. Bama's a 2.5-point underdog.
And I like Bama to win it outright.
Really? Okay.
I don't necessarily like Bama. I just like them to win this game.
I agree. They're fixing to throw a wrench in the college football playoff. I'm going Bama.
I think Georgia's going to prevail in a close game.
I like Georgia, too. I don't think Bama's really that good. And also, Jam Miller's not playing for the Crimson Tide, so I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball that well. So, yeah, I got Georgia pretty handily. I got them by 14, maybe higher than that.
Wow.
All right, number one, Ohio State.
Real quick, would that knock Alabama out of the national playoffs?
I don't think so. If they lose, I mean, they'd be a three-loss team then. I mean,
yeah, how could they possibly be?
I don't think so.
But I don't think they punish for conference title games. Because, I mean, the two-loss teams don't have to play a conference.
Let's get to that next.
Ohio State against Indiana. Number one versus number two. And Ohio State's a four-point favorite against the Hoosiers.
Ohio State's the best team in the country, bar none. And I hate to say it because Dima is a huge Ohio State fan.
We don't have to say that on air.
I think, well, it's okay. I think the Buckeyes win by 10.
He's wearing an Ohio State shirt right now.
I'm hoping. This is my upset. I'm going Indiana. I'm talking last-second field goal.
I would love to see it.
That's what I'm going. My pick's Indiana with upset by a last-second field goal.
Well, I think Indiana is a really, really good football team.
I do, too.
But I think the best football team is Ohio State. Yeah. And I like the Buckeyes in a close, tough – Steve and I were talking. I love Big Ten football. It's old-fashioned. I'm going to line up mano-mano, and let's see if you can stop me. And I don't think – Indiana will have quite enough to stop the Buckeyes.
Ohio State has only given up 9 touchdowns all season. 6 of those were with their backups on the field, so I don't think Indiana's seen a defense like Ohio State's. I think it's going to be close, and I think this is going to be a preview of the national championship game.
Both teams will be in the national playoffs.
I think this is a preview of the national championship game. I think Ohio State wins. I think it's going to be something like 24-20, you know, something like that. So, all right, Duke 7-5 Duke in the ACC championship game against Virginia. What do you got, Kelly?
Virginia. And I'm really surprised. Florida State's a disaster in that AC. They should be there. But I like Virginia to win.
I agree. Virginia, they're going to be.
I don't think it's been a good year for the AC.
It hasn't.
No, it hasn't. I just don't think they've played very well. I think Virginia wins. They're probably the best team in the ACC.
I'm going to pick Duke, and just because it would be so funny for a 5-loss team to win the conference title.
Yeah.
But they did play earlier this season, and Virginia kind of beat them pretty handily. So I don't know if there's a revenge factor. But I'm just going to ride with the Blue Devils. Why not? It'd just make it funny. And that would also mean that potentially JMU could get into the playoff in that scenario.
Yeah, but, you know, we talk about Ohio State being so good. And the reason I hate that especially is because literally millions of dollars they're paying players to go to Ohio. So they're buying a championship, but really, it's no different than what the Dodgers did.
They're the Dodgers
in Major League Baseball.
Well, it's no different.
Every team pays players. It's not just Ohio State.
Whatever Power Five school is doing right now. Look at LSU.
Yeah.
What they're willing to spend. It's not just Ohio.
Texas spent the most money, and they're 9-3. They spent $25 million on the roster. Yeah. They couldn't beat Ohio.
LSU's still paying 3 coaches right now. We can't.
Ain't that right?
Coach O gets his last check next week.
Come on. Well, speaking of, we're going to go to New Orleans. Patrick McGee's the sports editor of the Times Picayune. We're going to hear about the Lane Kiffin saga from the LSU side when we come back. Hang on.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road. We're with our really good friends here at Ramey Motors, and there's a little really cute little wiener dog that just wandered up with a sweater on. And
that's Copper. This is Copper.
Yeah, well, that's good. You know, Dakota, when I came down here, I told your man right behind me, people that bring their dogs to work, that love dogs that much, are good human beings. because there's nothing better than a dog. Everybody here agrees with that, right?
Sure. To an extent.
I agree.
Okay. All right. Patrick McGee is the sports editor of the Times-Picayune and a good friend of ours. And, Patrick, has anything been going on down in Louisiana about football coaches?
The moment they fired Brian Kelly, my life just went to hell. You know, I mean, it's just it's one thing after another. It's just been constant. Just there's always been something to think about and write about, which, I mean, it's a good problem to have. But, you know, Kiffin's indecision and supposed indecision, it was just kind of a lot of waiting and just so much drama that's gone into all of this.
Can I? I'm sorry to interrupt, Patrick. Is this a girl dog?
No, it's, okay. It's not.
I was just saying that's probably the closest anybody's ever going to get to licking Kelly's face right there. It's the dog.
Dima, your parents did such a bad job at raising you.
I'm so sorry. I just couldn't help.
Forgive us, Patrick, for getting sideways. Kelly has a wiener dog up
there. And it's letting him lick his mouth.
And she's licking him all in the face. So Kelly does love dogs. I'll say that. All right, Patrick, I'm going to ask you a dumb Mississippi question, I guess you could say. Where in the world does all the money come from that LSU is now paying three football coaches?
Well, LSU got a situation where they are the program. There are a bunch of FBS Division I programs in Louisiana, but LSU is the program, and they dominate money within the state. You know, there's people with old money in Louisiana. There's people like Todd Graves who got a lot. There are just a lot of people. Well, I say a lot. I mean, there is a group of people that really have a lot of money in Louisiana, and they like putting that money into LSU. It's a massive school. A lot of people have connections to it. If you're from Louisiana, you feel tied to it. So it's just there's a lot of money coming into the program, and there's people in the business community that want to attach themselves to the football program and the school itself.
But the standard that Lane Kiffin or any coach there is judged by is national championships. Am I wrong there?
Right. No, you're right. I mean, that's, you know, Brian Kelly had some decent teams, you know, had some okay seasons, but this year really kind of went sideways, and he kind of set himself up for failure whenever he said before the season that he felt like he had a national championship roster. I think he knew it was kind of his season. He probably knew and had discussions with athletic director and those people that if he didn't, you know, say get to the playoff or something like that, this was probably going to be his last year, and that turned out to be the case. So, yeah, I mean, national championship is the standard. You know, what kind of a patience period they have for Kiffin going forward, just, you know, probably something similar to Kelly. But Kelly was not a likable character for a lot of people. And Kiffin, if he loses, you know, has a 3 or 4 game losing streak at some point, people aren't going to like him either. So we'll see.
Right. I'm curious I'm going to switch gears on the Tulane front. I mean, there's reports that Will Hall is a serious contender for that job. I mean, that's just hard for me to believe, Patrick.
Yeah, I don't think that's, you know, I mean, nothing against Will, but I think what we're hearing is that, you know, and there's, you know, reports out there kind of suggesting this also, that signs are pointing towards LSU defensive coordinator Blake Baker. And I think there's a fairly decent chance that he may be the guy in the not-too-distant future.
I see. Did Charles Huff interview for that job?
I don't know. It's all kind of moved pretty darn quick, you know, just like all this process. So it's not like one of these things are drawn out in weeks or, you know, or a month or something like that. It's moving so fast, it's really hard to kind of keep on top of who all is involved. But Blake Baker has kind of been at the top of the pecking order all along.
Well, that kind of makes sense because obviously he's a good coach, or he wouldn't be the D coordinator of LSU.
And he played at Tulane.
And a new staff is coming in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that probably seems very logical to me.
Last name sounds great, too.
Yeah.
Dakota Baker.
But. All right, Patrick, before we let you go, we have kind of covered college football. We need to bring up the Saints. You're our man.
We do not need to bring up the Saints.
It's been a brutal year, Patrick. What's the vibe down there?
You know, I've been so consumed with LSU the last couple of weeks. I haven't, you know, there's been news going on the LSU front during the last two games, and I hadn't even had a chance to sit there and watch. But for the Saints right now, it's kind of where a lot of people thought it was headed, and they've loaded off, you know, Rashid Shaheed and Alvin Kamara's hurt, and they only have really one receiver now in Chris Olave that's a go-to guy. So yeah, it's kind of what you would expect. They're not a great team, you know. I think Tyler Shuck has shown some reasons to be optimistic about him, but it's really hard to gauge, you know, judge him too much when he doesn't have much around him in terms of skill players. So the Saints they've kind of loaded off. They're trying to get, you know, they're going to look towards the draft and building, but it doesn't feel like it's headed in a great direction as long as Mickey Loomis is still calling the shots, because he's the guy that put this roster together.
All right, so in conclusion, we can say that you're very happy the LSU coaching drama has finally ended.
Oh, it has ended. There's drama coming. I don't expect any relief anytime soon. I've got Lane Kiffin in town now. It's just going to be drama city.
That's a really great point. All right, my friend, we sure appreciate your input, man, and I hope you have a good weekend. Thank you, Patrick.
All right, y'all soon.
Patrick McGee, everybody, sports editor of the Times-Picayune.
And if he doesn't have his hands full enough already, the Pelicans, if you follow the NBA, they're awful. Oh, yeah. They fired their coach 7 or 8 games into the regular season. And you know how you do your paper chain for waiting for baseball season?
Correct.
In New Orleans, it's days to Mardi Gras.
Yeah, I got you. He made a great point, though. The drama has probably just started.
Oh, I think it's going to be a melting pot down there, man.
The Pelicans are 3-20 NBA. It's unbelievable.
And you talked about the drama with Lane Kiffin. And look, make no mistake, he plants a lot of that himself.
Well, he likes it.
He loves stirring stuff up, trolling other accounts.
He's a guy on the water boy.
He does, because I mean, Howard Cosell, the late great ABC broadcaster Howard Cosell, with Dakota and Dima would have to Google, but Howard Cosell always said there's no such thing as bad publicity.
As long as
you're talking about me, it's good.
I think that's probably got a lot of truth to it.
And I think that's exactly the way Lane Kiffin operates.
Don't think all this furor over Lane Kiffin has caught the eye of kids that may have been considering LSU?
If you look in the portal or even the signing day, we had two guys from LSU flip and go to Ole Miss. Now, saying that, we had two guys from Ole Miss flip to go to LSU. But I think it's just the way he went about it. If you just come out and say, look, coaching the Egg Bowl, after that I'm done, I'll be signing with LSU, blah, blah, blah. Or just come out after the Egg Bowl and say, I took a job, and sit there and stir the pot. And, I mean, there's Sertan Perkins, boy from Raleigh, called him out. Caden Prescorn, our tight end from last year. We had 4 or 5 players calling him out, saying that he was wanting to be there for the players and all this, and they said that was not what was said in the meeting. It's the Lane Kiffin train, and that's it.
And the thing, if you are a potential player, you have to believe – in the purity of your head coach and what he says. Can you believe anything that Lane Kiffin tells you?
It would be difficult, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm not saying maybe you can, maybe you can't, but I'm just saying if you have nothing else, you have your word.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, means everything.
I'm so old school that I just think that I wish it were me with all that money. I'd have had a really hard time leaving kids that had been with me, and we were on the verge for the first time ever of getting to play in the national championship. How you could walk away from that,
able to say, if you sign with Ole Miss, you're getting the roster money, you're getting the same kind, whatever the money is, everything's the same. Do I think LSU has an advantage of recruiting? Sure, they do. They have nicer facilities. I get that. But, like, man, you've built something there. You could have stayed at Ole Miss, went 10-2 next year, had an 8-4
made
season.
Made
a good living. And as long as you won 8 or 9 games a year, they would have built a statue outside of the stadium of you, and you'd have been a legend there forever. But
now, I'm a radio guy, so obviously I know nothing about being rich, but $9 million a year, I'd probably be pretty satisfied.
But, you know, we're so quick to point the fingers at football players themselves for leaving schools and getting into
the
transfer portal.
Good Lord.
But it's been happening forever. I'm kind of on the other side of this.
This is nothing new.
I don't necessarily blame Lane Kiffin for leaving, because it was just the timing of it is just the way the calendar lies. It's just, of course, the way he went about it was terrible.
Yeah.
But, like, him leaving to go to LSU shouldn't be a shock to anyone.
No, as we pointed out, it's just Dakota.
It's just the way he did it.
I think probably younger Southern Miss fans don't know this, but the same thing happened here with Curly Hallman. Southern Miss, I think, had gone 9-2, and Curly Hallman walks out right at the end of the – but there wasn't any drama. I mean, he just made the announcement and left, and they brought Jeff Bauer in. But to think that Lane Kiffin is the first guy to do this is just not true.
It's happening in Tulane right now, South Florida, North Texas, James Madison, all four of those schools happening with them as well.
We should not blame players who leave for the money when coaches, their role models,
I don't see how you do now.
Are doing the exactly the
but
same
Lane
thing.
But Lane Kiffin said he didn't even see his contract.
Yeah, you believe about it. Yeah, we all believe that.
I was like, dude. He shot himself in the foot.
Why would you say that, dude?
There's a new soccer coach, and I know my man Dakota here has been waiting to hear about it. That'll be next when we come back on the Super Talk Eagle Eye.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour down at Ramey Motors in Purvis. Bob Kelly, Demon, our good buddy Dakota Baker is sitting here joining us. All right, Demon, let's go to you. News and notes, and there is a new coach in town.
Yeah, I got a text about 9 a.m. this morning that there would be some movement in the coaching search for women's soccer, and then got the notification via sources that Danny Owens is going to be the next head women's soccer coach for Southern Miss. Obviously, he's the current head soccer coach at William Carey. He's coached there for about 21 seasons and posted 19 winning seasons. Get this, 358-72 overall record.
Wow.
So, really successful coach over there at William Carey. This past season, the Crusaders were 20-2. They were eliminated in the round of 16 in the NAIA tournament.
20-2? Is that what you said?
20-2, yep. They won the national championship in 2018 under Owens. 2024, they were 20-2 as well. They were the final ranking of number 5 in the top 25 poll. So a guy who has a storied history at William Carey and seems like a really great hire for the women's soccer.
So, yeah.
And we'll see kind of in the coming days. We did hear that William Carey's search is underway. They weren't going to name an interim yet, but so we'll see. We'll see how he kind of gets into the portal and see if he even steals some of his William Carey students.
And it's not unprecedented that Southern Miss has reached into the William Carey talent pool.
Not the first time.
No, Wendy Hogue, remember the softball coach at William Carey, then went to Southern Miss, and then she retired, went on to administration over in the Pedal Public School District. So they have dipped into that talent pool before. And I wonder with Danny. And I know him personally, but I haven't gotten to talk to him about this issue. I wonder if part of it wasn't because he's not the youngest guy out there. He's not the oldest guy either. But with his years in at William Carey, I wonder if he's going to take his retirement at Carey and then start working with the public school, kind of double dipping, which a lot of coaches tend to do nowadays when they get their retirement.
I think the question about the Southern Miss William Carey connection is how in the world through the years did Steve Knight, who is now the winningest basketball coach in the history of the state,
Who played at Southern Miss,
was a baseball and basketball. How in the world was he never offered the head coaching job? Anybody know the answer to that?
No.
I don't.
Would it have just made perfect sense?
Well, you would think so.
I mean, it's still a pretty big jump from NIA to NCAA, though. So, I mean, I don't know if, that would be a pretty bold hire.
Well, he told me one time, he said that the tendency is for them not just Southern Miss. The tendency is not to hire in Division One NAIA coaches.
Right, because, if you don't have any experience coaching on the NCAA level, Steve Knight's a legendary head coach. I'm not saying nothing against him. It's for all coaches in his shoes. If Southern Miss were to go for that, right, and then it not work, hypothetically.
Right.
You know, that would be a tremendous disaster.
He is such a good coach.
Yeah.
I think he would have been one that could have made the
I agree with you, but I'm just giving the argument why they probably didn't.
And,
you
know? And to be fair, Southern Miss has never been Duke or Kansas.
No. Right.
You know,
what?
As far as basketball goes.
What?
They just haven't.
Yeah.
I don't date to disappoint you, Bob. But
saying stuff like that, it kind of reminds me of the whole Tony Vitello situation right now.
Sure.
A college coach going straight pro. That's never happened.
That's going to be an interesting thing to watch.
That's going to be very interesting to watch.
Y'all kind of reminded me of that going from NAIA because I know it's a big jump. Like now he has no recruiting.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be a totally different thing. And I know NAIA versus the NCAA Division I, there's different
tiers. I think that's another example, Kelly, of a coach that got fed up with all the transfer portal and all of that. Much like Todd Monken, the transfer portal wasn't there, but he did say he just wanted to coach football. He didn't want to worry about who was coming to class.
Right.
I wonder if Vitello wasn't similar to
Could
that.
Could have been. Probably, it probably had to do something with a check, too, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, they said he took a pay cut to go to the Giants, from what I've seen.
Okay.
But, now, don't hold me to that. But, I mean, he was one of the highest paid coaches, and I mean, he got what he was after. I mean,
he was a hell of a coach, though.
Absolutely.
No question about that.
On the bowl front, Southern Miss still awaiting to see where their postseason fate lies. Two Sun Belt teams off the board. Arkansas State on the way to the Frisco Bowl out there in Dallas, and then Old Dominion in the Cure Bowl out there in Orlando. So two Sun Belt teams off the board. So we wait and see. We were hoping to get some information hopefully today, but definitely by Monday we will
you
know.
You think it's either New Orleans or Mobile?
I do. I think it's one of those two options.
Not Mobile.
I agree with you.
Mobile.
Well, the only other choice could be Boca or the Gulf Coast of South Carolina.
Myrtle Beach.
And you don't want that either. So, I mean, if you had to choose Mobile or Myrtle Beach or Boca, which one would you certainly want Mobile
Boca
in that case?
Something to keep
the
fans
You take
in
Mobile
trouble.
Over
well, just for the,
from the fans.
For the fans. I agree with Kelly on that because that year we went to
that
Hawaii.
That makes sense.
What the world?
Right.
Are we going
nobody's
to Hawaii
going
to play
Hawaii.
In Nevada.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
But then, I mean, was that – that was
Fedora's
Fedora,
last year.
But he did say in an interview that I read that he said a lot of these players will never, ever get to experience Hawaii. He said, I looked at it for that.
I'm for the New Orleans Bowl.
Absolutely. R.L. Carriers.
And I just think that's a done deal, don't you?
Well, that is what I've heard. I've heard it's down to Southern Miss and Louisiana for the New Orleans Bowl. Yeah. So we'll see what they decide. And I think they're also looking at Troy to see what happens tonight. And maybe 8-5 Troy could get that bid into the New Orleans Bowl. But I think you should send them to Mobile, Troy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dakota, thank you for having us, man. Merry Christmas to you and all the guys here
Same
at Ramey Motors.
And Ramey Motors and Power Sports.
Correct, and we look forward to another year of a great relationship with these fine
Absolutely,
folks
and
out
I,
here.
And we'll sign the deal today with Kelly. We'll get it all in writing on the NIL for the cookies and get him up there at Ramey. He's doing some meet and greets in the deli and the bakery.
I promise you, since y'all renewed your advertising in the new year, we will put a restriction on him about
That's right. Three cookies
I don't want to see
per.
What about dogs licking his face?
That was pretty
odd. This show
odd.
Is over, you guys. Let's go.
Real quick, I wasn't so concerned about the cookies as I was the time he ate all y'all's chicken when y'all were brought it down here.
Hey, now we got to deal with the deli at Ramey, so we got all the chicken we need, baby.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Southern Miss.
To the top.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.